A very, very small part of my head considered the interesting conundrum presented in this situation. I was never going to get tired, and neither was he. We didn't have to catch our breath, or rest, or eat, or even use the bathroom. We had no more mundane human needs. He had the most beautiful, perfect body in the world, and I had him all to myself. And it didn't feel like I was ever going to find a point where I would think, now I've had enough for one day. I was always going to want more, and the day was never going to end. So in such a situation, how did we ever stop? It didn't bother me at all that I had no answer. I sort of noticed when the sky began to lighten. The tiny ocean outside turned from black to gray, and a lark started to sing somewhere very close by. Maybe she had a nest in the roses. Do you miss it? I asked him when her song was done. It wasn't the first time we'd spoken, but we weren't exactly keeping up a conversation either. Miss what? He murmured. All of it. The warmth, the soft skin, the tasty smell. I'm not losing anything at all, and I just wondered if it was a little bit sad for you that you were. He laughed, low and gentle. It would be hard to find someone less sad than I am now. Impossible, I'd venture. Not many people get every single thing they want, plus all the things they didn't think to ask for in the same day. Are you avoiding the question? He pressed his hand against my face. You are warm, he told me. It was true in a sense. To me, his hand was warm. It wasn't the same as touching Jacob's flame-hot skin, but it was more comfortable, more natural. Then he pulled his fingers very slowly down my face, lightly tracing from my jaw to my throat and then all the way down to my waist. My eyes rolled back into my head a little. You are soft. His fingers were like satin against my skin, so I could see what he meant. And as for the scent, well, I couldn't say I missed that. Do you remember the scent of those hikers on our hunt? I've been trying very hard not to. Imagine kissing that. My throat ripped into flames like pulling the cord on a hot air balloon. Oh, precisely. So the answer is no. I'm purely full of joy, because I am missing nothing. No one has more than I do now. I was about to inform him of the one exception to his statement, but my lips were suddenly very busy. When the little pool turned pearl-colored with the sunrise, I thought of another question for him. How long does this go on? I mean, Carlisle and Esme, Em and Rose, Alice and Jasper, they don't spend all day locked in their rooms. They're out in public, fully clothed all the time. Does this craving ever let up? I twisted myself closer into him, quite an accomplishment, actually, to make it clear what I was talking about. That's difficult to say. Everyone is different, and, well, so far you're the very most different of all. The average young vampire is too obsessed with thirst to notice much else for a while. That doesn't seem to apply to you. With the average vampire, though, after that first year, other needs make themselves known. Neither thirst nor any other desire really ever fades. It's simply a matter of learning to balance them, learning to prioritize and manage. How long? He smiled, wrinkling his nose a little. Rosalie and Emmett were the worst. It took a solid decade before I could stand to be within a 5-mile radius of them. Even Carlisle and Esme had a difficult time stomaching it. They kicked the happy couple out eventually. Esme built them a house, too. It was grander than this one, but then Esme knows what Rose likes. And she knows what you like. So after 10 years, then? I was pretty sure that Rosalie and Emmett had nothing on us. But it might sound cocky if I went higher than a decade. Everybody is normal again, like they are now? Edward smiled again. Well, I'm not sure what you mean by normal. You've seen my family going about life in a fairly human way, but you've been sleeping nights. He winked at me. There's a tremendous amount of time left over when you don't have to sleep. It makes balancing your interests quite easy. There's a reason why I'm the best musician in the family, why, besides Carlyle, I've read the most books, studied the most sciences, become fluent in the most languages. Emmett would have you believe that I'm such a know-it-all because of the mind reading. But the truth is that I've just had a lot of free time. We laugh together, and the motion of our laughter did interesting things to the way our bodies were connected, effectively ending that conversation. Chapter 25. Favor. It was only a little while later that Edward reminded me of my priorities. It took him just one word. Renesmee. I sighed. She would be awake soon. It must be nearly 7 in the morning. Would she be looking for me? Abruptly, something close to panic had my body freezing up. What would she look like today? Edward felt the total distraction of my stress. It's all right, love. Get dressed, and we'll be back to the house in 2 seconds. I probably looked like a cartoon, the way I sprung up, then looked back at him, his diamond body faintly glinting in the diffused light, then away to the west, where Renesmee waited, then back at him again, then back toward her, my head whipping from side to side a half dozen times in a second. Edward smiled but didn't laugh. He was a strong man. It's all about balance, love. You're so good at all of this. I don't imagine it will take too long to put everything in perspective. And we have all night, right? He smiled wider. Do you think I could bear to let you get dressed now if that weren't the case? That would have to be enough to get me through the daylight hours. I would balance this overwhelming, devastating desire so that I could be a good... It was hard to think the word. Though Renesmee was very real and vital in my life, it was still difficult to think of myself as a mother. I supposed anyone would feel the same, though, without 9 months to get used to the idea, and with a child that changed by the hour. The thought of Renesmee's speeding life had me stressed out again in an instant. I didn't even pause at the ornately carved double doors to catch my breath before finding out what Alice had done. I just burst through, intent on wearing the first things I touched. I should have known it wouldn't be that easy. "Which ones are mine?" I hissed. As promised, the room was bigger than our bedroom. It might have been bigger than the rest of the house put together, but I'd have to pace it off to be positive. I had a brief mental flash of Alice trying to persuade Esme to ignore classic proportions and allow this monstrosity. I wondered how Alice had won that one. Everything was wrapped in garment bags, pristine and white, row after row after row. To the best of my knowledge, everything but this rack here, he touched a bar that stretched along the half wall to the left of the door, is yours. All of this? He shrugged. Alice, we said together. He said her name like an explanation. I said it like an expletive. Fine, I muttered, and I pulled down the zipper on the closest bag. I growled under my breath when I saw the floor-length silk gown inside, baby pink. Finding something normal to wear could take all day. Let me help, Edward offered. He sniffed carefully at the air, and then followed some scent to the back of the long room. There was a built-in dresser there. He sniffed again, then opened a drawer. With a triumphant grin, he held out a pair of artfully faded blue jeans. I flitted to his side. How did you do that? Denim has its own scent just like anything else. Now, stretch cotton? He followed his nose to a half rack, unearthing a long-sleeved white t-shirt. He tossed it to me. Thanks, I said fervently. I inhaled each fabric, memorizing the scent for future searches through this madhouse. I remembered silk and satin. I would avoid those. It only took him seconds to find his own clothes. If I hadn't seen him undressed, I would have sworn there was nothing more beautiful than Edward in his khakis and pale beige pullover. And then he took my hand. We darted through the hidden garden, leaped lightly over the stone wall, and hit the forest at a dead sprint. I pulled my hand free so that we could race back. He beat me this time. Renesmee was awake. She was sitting up on the floor with Rose and Emmett hovering over her, playing with a little pile of twisted silverware. She had a mangled spoon in her right hand. As soon as she spied me through the glass, she chucked the spoon on the floor, where it left a divot in the wood, and pointed in my direction imperiously. Her audience laughed. Alice, Jasper, Esme, and Carlyle were sitting on the couch, watching her as if she were the most engrossing film. I was through the door before their laughter had barely begun, bounding across the room and scooping her up from the floor in the same second. We smiled widely at each other. She was different, but not so much. A little longer again, her proportions drifting from babyish to childlike. Her hair was longer by a quarter inch, the curls bouncing like springs with every movement. I'd let my imagination run wild on the trip back, and I'd imagined worse than this. Thanks to my overdone fears, these little changes were almost a relief. Even without Carlyle's measurements, I was sure the changes were slower than yesterday. Renesmee patted my cheek. I winced. She was hungry again. "How long has she been up?" I asked as Edward disappeared through the kitchen doorway. I was sure he was on his way to get her breakfast, having seen what she just thought as clearly as I had. I wondered if he would ever have noticed her little quirk, if he'd been the only one to know her. To him, it probably would have seemed like hearing anyone. "Just a few minutes," Rose said. "We would have called you soon. She's been asking for you. Demanding might be a better description. Esme sacrificed her second best silver service to keep the little monster entertained." Rose smiled at Renesmee with so much gloating affection that the criticism was entirely weightless. "We didn't want to, bother you." Rosalie bit her lip and looked away, trying not to laugh. I could feel Emmett's silent laughter behind me, sending vibrations through the foundations of the house. I kept my chin high. "We'll get your room set up right away," I said to Renesmee. "You'll like the cottage. It's magic." I looked up at Esme. "Thank you, Esme, so much. It's absolutely perfect." Before Esme could respond, Emmett was laughing again. It wasn't silent this time. "So it's still standing?" he managed to get out between his snickers. "I would have thought you two had knocked it to rubble by now. What were you doing last night? Discussing the national debt?" He howled with laughter. I gritted my teeth and reminded myself of the negative consequences when I'd let my temper get away from me yesterday. Of course, Emmett wasn't as breakable as Seth. Thinking of Seth made me wonder, where are the wolves today? I glanced out the window wall, but there had been no sign of Leah on the way in. "Jacob took off this morning pretty early," Rosalie told me, a little frown creasing her forehead. "Seth followed him out." "What was he so upset about?" Edward asked as he came back into the room with Renesmee's cup. There must have been more in Rosalie's memory than I'd seen in her expression. Without breathing, I handed Renesmee off to Rosalie. Super self-control, maybe, but there was no way I was going to be able to feed her. Not yet. "I don't know or care," Rosalie grumbled, but she answered Edward's question more fully. "He was watching Nessie sleep, his mouth hanging open like the moron he is, and then he just jumped to his feet without any kind of trigger, that I noticed anyway, and stormed out. I was glad to be rid of him. The more time he spends here, the less chance there is that we'll ever get the smell out." "Rose," Esme chided gently. Rosalie flipped her hair. "I suppose it doesn't matter. We won't be here that much longer." "I still say we should go straight to New Hampshire and get things set up," Emmett said, obviously continuing an earlier conversation. "Bella's already registered at Dartmouth. Doesn't look like it will take her all that long to be able to handle school." He turned to look at me with a teasing grin. "I'm sure you'll ace your classes. Apparently, there's nothing interesting for you to do at night besides study." Rosalie giggled. "Do not lose your temper. Do not lose your temper," I chanted to myself, and then I was proud of myself for keeping my head. So I was pretty surprised that Edward didn't. He growled, an abrupt, shocking rasp of sound, and the blackest fury rolled across his expression like storm clouds. Before any of us could respond, Alice was on her feet. "What is he doing? What is that dog doing that has erased my schedule for the entire day? I can't see anything." "No!" She shot me a tortured glance. "Look at you! You need me to show you how to use your closet." For one second, I was grateful for whatever Jacob was up to. And then Edward's hands balled up into fists, and he snarled. "He talked to Charlie. He thinks Charlie is following after him, coming here today." Alice said a word that sounded very odd in her trilling ladylike voice, and then she blurred into motion, streaking out the back door. "He told Charlie?" I gasped. "But doesn't he understand? How could he do that?" "Charlie couldn't know about me, about vampires. That would put him on a hit list that even the Cullens couldn't save him from." "No!" Edward spoke through his teeth. "Jacob's on his way in now." It must have started raining farther east. Jacob came through the door shaking his wet hair like a dog, flipping droplets on the carpet and the couch where they made little round gray spots in the white. His teeth glinted against his dark lips. His eyes were bright and excited. He walked with jerky movements, like he was all hyped up about destroying my father's life. "Hey, guys," he greeted us, grinning. It was perfectly silent. Leah and Seth slipped in behind him in their human forms, for now. Both of their hands were trembling with the tension in the room. "Rose," I said, holding my arms out. Wordlessly, Rosalie handed me Renesmee. I pressed her close to my motionless heart, holding her like a talisman against rash behavior. I would keep her in my arms until I was sure my decision to kill Jacob was based entirely on rational judgment rather than fury. She was very still, watching and listening. How much did she understand? "Charlie'll be here soon," Jacob said to me casually. "Just a heads up. I assume Alice is getting you sunglasses or something." "You assume way too much," I spit through my teeth. "What have you done?" Jacob's smile wavered, but he was still too wound up to answer seriously. "Blondie and Emmett woke me up this morning going on and on about you all moving cross-country. Like I could let you leave. Charlie was the biggest issue there, right? Well, problem solved. Do you even realize what you've done? The danger you've put him in?" He snorted. "I didn't put him in danger, except from you. But you've got some kind of supernatural self-control, right? Not as good as mind reading, if you ask me. Much less exciting." Edward moved then, darting across the room to get in Jacob's face. Though he was half a head shorter than Jacob, Jacob leaned away from his staggering anger as if Edward towered over him. "That's just a theory, mongrel," he snarled. "You think we should test it out on Charlie? Did you consider the physical pain you're putting Bella through, even if she can resist? Or the emotional pain if she doesn't? I suppose what happens to Bella no longer concerns you." He spit the last word. Renesmee pressed her fingers anxiously to my cheek, anxiety coloring the replay in her head. Edward's words finally cut through Jacob's strangely electric mood. His mouth dropped into a frown. "Bella will be in pain? Like you've shoved a white-hot branding iron down her throat." I flinched, remembering the scent of pure human blood. "I didn't know that," Jacob whispered. "Then perhaps you should have asked first," Edward growled back through his teeth. "You would have stopped me." "You should have been stopped." "This isn't about me," I interrupted. I stood very still, keeping my hold on Renesmee and sanity. "This is about Charlie, Jacob. How could you put him in danger this way? Do you realize it's death or vampire life for him now, too?" My voice trembled with the tears my eyes could no longer shed. Jacob was still troubled by Edward's accusations, but mine didn't seem to bother him. "Relax, Bella. I didn't tell him anything you weren't planning to tell him." But he's coming here. Yeah, that's the idea. Wasn't the whole let him make the wrong assumptions thing your plan? I think I provided a very nice red herring, if I do say so myself. My fingers flexed away from Inezme. I curled them back in securely. Say it straight, Jacob. I don't have the patience for this. I didn't tell him anything about you, Bella. Not really. I told him about me. Well, show is probably a better verb. He phased in front of Charlie, Edward hissed. I whispered, You what? He's brave. Brave as you are. Didn't pass out or throw up or anything. I gotta say, I was impressed. You should have seen his face when I started taking my clothes off, though. Priceless. Jacob chortled. You absolute moron. You could have given him a heart attack. Charlie's fine. He's tough. If you'd give this just a minute, you'll see that I did you a favor here. You have half of that, Jacob. My voice was flat and steely. You have 30 seconds to tell me every single word before I give Renesmee to Rosalie and rip your miserable head off. Seth won't be able to stop me this time. Jeez, Bells. You didn't used to be so melodramatic. Is that a vampire thing? 26 seconds? Jacob rolled his eyes and flopped into the nearest chair. His little pack moved to stand in his flanks, not at all relaxed the way he seemed to be. Leah's eyes were on me, her teeth slightly bared. So I knocked on Charlie's door this morning and asked him to come for a walk with me. He was confused, but when I told him it was about you and that you were back in town, he followed me out to the woods. I told him you weren't sick anymore, and that things were a little weird but good. He was about to take off to see you, but I told him I had to show him something first. And then I phased. Jacob shrugged. My teeth felt like a vice was pushing them together. I want every word, you monster. Well, you said I only had 30 seconds. Okay, okay. My expression must have convinced him that I wasn't in the mood for teasing. Let me see. I phased back and got dressed, and then after he started breathing again, I said something like, Charlie, you don't live in the world you thought you lived in. The good news is, nothing has changed. Except that now you know. Life will go on the same way it always has. You can go right back to pretending that you don't believe any of this. It took him a minute to get his head together, and then he wanted to know what was really going on with you. With the whole rare disease thing, I told him that you had been sick, but you were fine now. It was just that you'd had to change a little bit in the process of getting better. He wanted to know what I meant by change, and I told him that you looked a lot more like Esme now than you look like Renee. Edward hissed while I stared in horror. This was headed in a dangerous direction. After a few minutes, he asked, real quietly, if you turned into an animal too. And I said, she wishes she was that cool. Jacob chuckled. Rosalie made a noise of disgust. I started to tell him more about werewolves, but I didn't even get the whole word out. Charlie cut me off and said he'd rather not know the specifics. Then he asked if you'd known what you were getting yourself into when you married Edward, and I said, Sure, she's known all about this for years, since she first came to Forks. He didn't like that very much. I let him rant till he got it out of his system. After he got calmed down, he just wanted two things. He wanted to see you, and I said it would be better if he gave me a head start to explain. I inhaled deeply. What was the other thing he wanted? Jacob smiled. You'll like this. His main request is that he be told as little as possible about all of this. If it's not absolutely essential for him to know something, then keep it to yourself. Need to know only. I felt relief for the first time since Jacob had walked in. I can handle that part. Other than that, he just liked to pretend things are normal. Jacob's smile turned smug. He must suspect that I would be starting to feel the first faint stirrings of gratitude about now. What did you tell him about Renesmee? I struggled to maintain the razor edge in my voice, fighting the reluctant appreciation. It was premature. There was still so much wrong with the situation, even if Jacob's intervention had brought out a better reaction in Charlie than I'd ever hoped for. Oh, yeah. So I told him that you and Edward had inherited a new little mouth to feed. He glanced at Edward. She's your orphaned ward, like Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson. Jacob snorted. I didn't think you'd mind me lying. That's all part of the game, right? Edward didn't respond in any way, so Jacob went on. Charlie was way past being shocked at this point, but he did ask if you were adopting her. Like a daughter? Like I'm sort of a grandfather? Were his exact words. I told him, yes, congrats, Gramps, and all of that. He even smiled a little. The stinging returned to my eyes, but not out of fear or anguish this time. Charlie was smiling at the idea of being a grandpa. Charlie would meet Renesmee. But she's changing so fast, I whispered. I told him that she was more special than all of us put together, Jacob said in a soft voice. He stood and walked right up to me, waving Leah and Seth off when they started to follow. Renesmee reached out to him, but I hugged her more tightly to me. I told him, trust me, you don't want to know about this. But if you can ignore all the strange parts, you're going to be amazed. She's the most wonderful person in the whole world. And then I told him that if he could deal with that, you all would stick around for a while and he would have a chance to get to know her. But that if it was too much for him, you would leave. He said as long as no one forced too much information on him, he'd deal. Jacob stared at me with half a smile waiting. I'm not going to say thank you, I told him. You're still putting Charlie at a huge risk. I am sorry about it hurting you. I didn't know it was like that. Bella, things are different with us now, but you'll always be my best friend, and I'll always love you. But I'll love you the right way now. There's finally a balance. We both have people we can't live without. He smiled his very most Jacoby smile. Still friends? Try as hard as I could to resist, I had to smile back. Just a tiny smile. He held out his hand, an offer. I took a deep breath and shifted Renesmee's weight to one arm. I put my left hand in his. He didn't even flinch at the feel of my cool skin. If I don't kill Charlie tonight, I'll consider forgiving you for this. When you don't kill Charlie tonight, you'll owe me huge. I rolled my eyes. He held out his other hand toward Renesmee, a request this time. Can I? I'm actually holding her so that my hands aren't free to kill you, Jacob. Maybe later. He sighed but didn't push me on it. Wise of him. Alice raced back through the door then, her hands full and her expression promising violence. You, you, and you, she snapped, glaring at the werewolves. If you must stay, get over in the corner and commit to being there for a while. I need to see. Bella, you'd better give him the baby too. You'll need your arms free anyway. Jacob grinned in triumph. Undiluted fear ripped through my stomach as the enormity of what I was about to do hit me. I was going to gamble on my iffy self-control with my pure human father as the guinea pig. Edward's earlier words crashed in my ears again. Did you consider the physical pain you're putting Bella through, even if she can resist, or the emotional pain if she doesn't? I couldn't imagine the pain of failure. My breathing turned to gasps. Take her, I whispered, sliding Renesmee into Jacob's arms. He nodded, concern wrinkling his forehead. He gestured to the others, and they all went to the far corner of the room. Seth and Jake slouched on the floor at once, but Leah shook her head and pursed her lips. Am I allowed to leave? She griped. She looked uncomfortable in her human body, wearing the same dirty t-shirt and cotton shorts she'd worn to shriek at me the other day, her short hair sticking up in irregular tufts. Her hands were still shaking. Of course, Jake said. Stay east so you don't cross Charlie's path, Alice added. Leah didn't look at Alice. She ducked out the back door and stomped into the bushes to phase. Edward was back at my side, stroking my face. You can do this. I know you can. I'll help you. We all will. I met Edward's eyes with panic screaming from my face. Was he strong enough to stop me if I made a wrong move? If I didn't believe you could handle it, we'd disappear today. this very minute. But you can. And you'll be happier if you can have Charlie in your life. I tried to slow my breathing. Alice held out her hand. There was a small white box on her palm. These will irritate your eyes. They won't hurt, but they'll cloud your vision. It's annoying. They also won't match your old color, but it's still better than bright red, right? She flipped the contact box into the air and I caught it. When did you... Before you left on the honeymoon, I was prepared for several possible futures. I nodded and opened the container. I'd never worn contacts before, but it couldn't be that hard. I took the little brown quarter sphere and pressed it, concave side in, to my eye. I blinked, and a film interrupted my sight. I could see through it, of course, but I could also see the texture of the thin screen. My eye kept focusing on the microscopic scratches and warped sections. I see what you mean, I murmured, as I stuck the other one in. I tried to not blink this time. My eye automatically wanted to dislodge the obstruction. How do I look? Edward smiled. Gorgeous, of course. Yes, yes, she always looks gorgeous. Alice finished his thought impatiently. It's better than red, but that's the highest commendation I can give. Muddy brown. Your brown was much prettier. Keep in mind that those won't last forever. The venom in your eyes will dissolve them in a few hours. So if Charlie stays longer than that, you'll have to excuse yourself to replace them, which is a good idea anyway, because humans need bathroom breaks. She shook her head. Esme, give her a few pointers on acting human while I stock the powder room with contacts. How long do I have? Charlie will be here in 5 minutes. Keep it simple. Esme nodded once and came to take my hand. The main thing is not to sit too still or move too fast, she told me. Sit down if he does, Emmett interjected. Humans don't like to just stand there. Let your eyes wander every 30 seconds or so, Jasper added. Humans don't stare at one thing for too long. Cross your legs for about 5 minutes, then switch to crossing your ankles for the next 5, Rosalie said. I nodded once at each suggestion. I'd noticed them doing some of these things yesterday. I thought I could mimic their actions. And blink at least 3 times a minute, Emmett said. He frowned, then darted to where the television remote sat on the end table. He flipped the TV on to a college football game and nodded to himself. Move your hands, too. Brush your hair back or pretend to scratch something, Jasper said. I said Esme, Alice complained as she returned. You'll overwhelm her. No, I think I got it all, I said. Sit, look around, blink, fidget. Right, Esme approved. She hugged my shoulders. Jasper frowned. You'll be holding your breath as much as possible, but you need to move your shoulders a little to make it look like you're breathing. I inhaled once and then nodded again. Edward hugged me on my free side. You can do this, he repeated, murmuring the encouragement in my ear. 2 minutes, Alice said. Maybe you should start out already on the couch. You've been sick after all. That way, he won't have to see you move right at first. Alice pulled me to the sofa. I tried to move slowly, to make my limbs more clumsy. She rolled her eyes, so I must not have been doing a good job. Jacob, I need Renesmee, I said. Jacob frowned, unmoving. Alice shook her head. Bella, that doesn't help me see. But I need her. She keeps me calm. The edge of panic in my voice was unmistakable. Fine, Alice groaned. Hold her as still as you can, and I'll try to see around her. She sighed wearily, like she'd been asked to work overtime on a holiday. Jacob sighed too, but brought Renesmee to me and then retreated quickly from Alice's glare. Edward took a seat beside me and put his arms around Renesmee and me. He leaned forward and looked Renesmee very seriously in the eyes. Renesmee, someone special is coming to see you and your mother, he said in a solemn voice, as if he expected her to understand every word. Did she? She looked back at him with clear, grave eyes. But he's not like us, or even like Jacob. We have to be very careful with him. You shouldn't tell him things the way you tell us. Renesmee touched his face. Exactly, he said. And he's going to make you thirsty, but you mustn't bite him. He won't heal like Jacob. Can she understand you? I whispered. She understands. You'll be careful, won't you, Renesmee? You'll help us. Renesmee touched him again. No, I don't care if you bite Jacob. That's fine. Jacob chuckled. Maybe you should leave, Jacob, Edward said coldly, glaring in his direction. Edward hadn't forgiven Jacob, because he knew that no matter what happened now, I was going to be hurting. But I'd take the burn happily if that were the worst thing I'd face tonight. I told Charlie I'd be here, Jacob said. He needs the moral support. Moral support, Edward scoffed. As far as Charlie knows, you're the most repulsive monster of us all. Repulsive? Jake protested, and then he laughed quietly to himself. I heard the tires turn off the highway onto the quiet, damp earth of the Cullens Drive, and my breathing spiked again. My heart ought to have been hammering. It made me anxious that my body didn't have the right reactions. I concentrated on the steady thrumming of Renesmee's heart to calm myself. It worked pretty quickly. Well done, Bella, Jasper whispered in approval. Edward tightened his arm over my shoulders. You're sure? I asked him. Positive. You can do anything. He smiled and kissed me. It wasn't precisely a peck on the lips, and my wild vampiric reactions took me off guard yet again. Edward's lips were like a shot of some addictive chemical straight into my nervous system. I was instantly craving more. It took all my concentration to remember the baby in my arms. Jasper felt my mood change. Edward, you might not want to distract her like that right now. She needs to be able to focus. Edward pulled away. Oops, he said. I laughed. That had been my line from the very beginning, from the very first kiss. Later, I said, and anticipation curled my stomach into a ball. Focus, Bella, Jasper urged. Right. I pushed the trembly feelings away. Charlie, that was the main thing now. Keep Charlie safe today. We would have all night. Bella? Sorry, Jasper. Emmett laughed. The sound of Charlie's cruiser got closer and closer. The second of levity passed, and everyone was still. I crossed my legs and practiced my blinks. The car pulled in front of the house and idled for a few seconds. I wondered if Charlie was as nervous as I was. Then the engine cut off and a door slammed. 3 steps across the grass, then 8 echoing thuds against the wooden stairs, 4 more echoing footsteps across the porch, then silence. Charlie took 2 deep breaths. Knock, knock, knock. I inhaled for what might be the last time. Renesmee nestled deeper into my arms, hiding her face in my hair. Carlyle answered the door. His stressed expression changed to one of welcome, like switching the channel on the TV. Hello, Charlie, he said, looking appropriately abashed. After all, we were supposed to be in Atlanta at the Center for Disease Control. Charlie knew he'd been lied to. Carlyle, Charlie greeted him stiffly. Where's Bella? Right here, Dad. Ugh. My voice was so wrong. Plus, I used up some of my air supply. I gulped in a quick refill, glad that Charlie's scent had not saturated the room yet. Charlie's blank expression told me how off my voice was. His eyes zeroed in on me and widened. I read the emotions as they scrolled across his face. Shock, disbelief, pain, loss, fear, anger, suspicion, more pain. I bit my lip. It felt funny. My new teeth were sharper against my granite skin than my human teeth had been against my soft human lips. Is that you, Bella? He whispered. Yup. I winced at my wind chime voice. Hi, Dad. He took a deep breath to steady himself. Hey, Charlie, Jacob greeted him from the corner. How are things? Charlie glowered at Jacob once, shuddered at a memory, and then stared at me again. Slowly, Charlie walked across the room until he was a few feet away from me. He darted an accusing glare at Edward, and then his eyes flickered back to me. The warmth of his body heat beat against me with each pulse of his heart. Bella? He asked again. I spoke in a lower voice, trying to keep the ring out of it. It's really me. His jaw locked. I'm sorry, Dad, I said. Are you okay? He demanded. Really and truly great, I promised. Healthy as a horse. That was it for my oxygen. Jake told me this was necessary. That you were dying. He said the words like he didn't believe them one bit. I steeled myself, focused on Renesmee's warm weight, leaned into Edward for support, and took a deep breath. Charlie's scent was a fistful of flames, punching straight down my throat. But it was so much more than pain. It was a hot stabbing of desire, too. Charlie smelled more delicious than anything I'd ever imagined. As appealing as the anonymous hikers had been on the hunt, Charlie was doubly tempting. And he was just a few feet away, leaking mouth-watering heat and moisture into the dry air. But I wasn't hunting now, and this was my father. Edward squeezed my shoulder sympathetically, and Jacob shot an apologetic glance at me across the room. I tried to collect myself and ignore the pain and longing of the thirst. Charlie was waiting for my answer. Jacob was telling you the truth. That makes one of you, Charlie growled. I hoped Charlie could see past the changes in my new face to read the remorse there. Under my hair, Renesmee sniffed as Charlie's scent registered with her too. I tightened my grip on her. Charlie saw my anxious glance down and followed it. Oh, he said, and all the anger fell off his face, leaving only shock behind. This is her, the orphan Jacob said you're adopting. My niece, Edward lied smoothly. He must have decided that the resemblance between Renesmee and him was too pronounced to be ignored. Best to claim they were related from the beginning. I thought you lost your family, Charlie said, accusation returning to his voice. I lost my parents. My older brother was adopted, like me. I never saw him after that. But the courts located me when he and his wife died in a car accident, leaving their only child without any other family. Edward was so good at this. His voice was even, with just the right amount of innocence. I needed practice so that I could do that. Renesmee peeked out from under my hair, sniffing again. She glanced shyly at Charlie from under her long lashes, then hid again. She's a beauty. Yes, Edward agreed. Kind of a big responsibility, though. You two are just getting started. What else could we do? Edward brushed his fingers lightly over her cheek. I saw him touch her lips for just a moment, a reminder. Would you have refused her? Well, he shook his head absently. Jake says you call her Nessie? No, we don't, I said, my voice too sharp and piercing. Her name is Renesmee. Charlie refocused on me. How do you feel about this? Maybe Carlisle and Esme could. She's mine, I interrupted. I want her. Charlie frowned. You gonna make me a grandpa so young? Edward smiled. Carlisle is a grandfather, too. Charlie shot an incredulous glance at Carlisle, still standing by the front door. He looked like Zeus's younger, better-looking brother. Charlie snorted and then laughed. I guess that does sort of make me feel better. His eyes strayed back to Renesmee. She sure is something to look at. His warm breath blew lightly across the space between us. Renesmee leaned toward the smell, shaking off my hair and looking him full in the face for the first time. Charlie gasped. I knew what he was seeing. My eyes. His eyes, copied exactly into her perfect face. Charlie started hyperventilating. His lips trembled, and I could read the numbers he mouthed. He was counting backward, trying to fit 9 months into one, trying to put it together, but not able to force the evidence right in front of him to make any sense. Jacob got up and came over to pat Charlie on the back. He leaned in to whisper something in Charlie's ear, only Charlie didn't know we could all hear. Need to know, Charlie. It's okay, I promise. Charlie swallowed and nodded, and then his eyes blazed as he took a step closer to Edward with his fists tightly clenched. I don't want to know everything, but I'm done with the lies. I'm sorry, Edward said calmly, but you need to know the public story more than you need to know the truth. If you're going to be part of this secret, the public story is the one that counts. It's to protect Bella and Renesmee, as well as the rest of us. Can you go along with the lies for them? The room was full of statues. I crossed my ankles. Charlie huffed once and then turned his glare on me. You might have given me some warning, kid. Would it really have made this any easier? He frowned, and then he knelt on the floor in front of me. I could see the movement of the blood in his neck under his skin. I could feel the warm vibration of it. So could Renesmee. She smiled and reached one pink palm out to him. I held her back. She pushed her other hand against my neck, thirst, curiosity, and Charlie's face in her thoughts. There was a subtle edge to the message that made me think that she'd understood Edward's words perfectly. She acknowledged thirst, but overrode it in the same thought. Whoa, Charlie gasped, his eyes on her perfect teeth. How old is she? 3 months, Edward said, and then added slowly, rather, she's the size of a 3-month-old, more or less. She's younger in some ways, more mature in others. Very deliberately, Renesmee waved at him. Charlie blinked spastically. Jacob elbowed him. Told you she was special, didn't I? Charlie cringed away from the contact. Oh, come on, Charlie, Jacob groaned. I'm the same person I've always been. Just pretend this afternoon didn't happen. The reminder made Charlie's lips go white, but he nodded once. Just what is your part in all this, Jake? He asked. How much does Billy know? Why are you here? He looked at Jacob's face, which was glowing as he stared at Renesmee. Well, I could tell you all about it. Billy knows absolutely everything. But it involves a lot of stuff about where... Ugh, Charlie protested, covering his ears. Never mind. Jacob grinned. Everything's going to be great, Charlie. Just try to not believe anything you see. My dad mumbled something unintelligible. Ooh, Emmett suddenly boomed in his deep bass. Go Gators! Jacob and Charlie jumped. The rest of us froze. Charlie recovered, then looked at Emmett over his shoulder. Florida winning? Just scored the first touchdown, Emmett confirmed. He shot a look in my direction, wagging his eyebrows like a villain in vaudeville. About time somebody scored around here. I fought back a hiss. In front of Charlie? That was over the line. But Charlie was beyond noticing innuendos. He took yet another deep breath, sucking the air in like he was trying to pull it down to his toes. I envied him. He lurched to his feet, stepped around Jacob, and half fell into an open chair. Well, he sighed, I guess we should see if they can hold on to the lead. Chapter 26, Shiny. I don't know how much we should tell Renee about this, Charlie said, hesitating with one foot out the door. He stretched, and then his stomach growled. I nodded. I know. I don't want to freak her out. Better to protect her. This stuff isn't for the faint-hearted. His lips twisted up to the side ruefully. I would have tried to protect you too if I'd known how. But I guess you've never fit into the faint-hearted category, have you? I smiled back, pulling a blazing breath in through my teeth. Charlie patted his stomach absently. I'll think of something. We've got time to discuss this, right? Right, I promised him. It had been a long day in some ways, and so short in others. Charlie was late for dinner. Sue Clearwater was cooking for him and Billy. That was going to be an awkward evening, but at least he'd be eating real food. I was glad someone was trying to keep him from starving due to his lack of cooking ability. All day, the tension had made the minutes pass slowly. Charlie had never relaxed the stiff set of his shoulders, but he'd been in no hurry to leave either. He'd watched two whole games, thankfully so absorbed in his thoughts that he was totally oblivious to Emmett's suggestive jokes that got more pointed and less football-related with each aside, and the after-game commentaries, and then the news, not moving until Seth had reminded him of the time. You gonna stand Billy and my mom up, Charlie? Come on. Bella and Nessie will be here tomorrow. Let's get some grub, eh? It had been clear in Charlie's eyes that he hadn't trusted Seth's assessment, but he let Seth lead the way out. The doubt was still there as he paused now. The clouds were thinning, the rain gone. The sun might even make an appearance just in time to set. Jake says you guys were going to take off on me, he muttered to me now. I didn't want to do that if there was any way at all around it. That's why we're still here. He said you could stay for a while, but only if I'm tough enough and if I can keep my mouth shut. Yes, but I can't promise that we'll never leave, Dad. It's pretty complicated.
Need to know, he reminded me.
Right. You'll visit, though, if you have to go. I promise, Dad, now that you know just enough, I think this can work. I'll keep as close as you want. He chewed on his lip for half a second, then leaned slowly toward me with his arms cautiously extended. I shifted Renesmee, napping now, to my left arm, locked my teeth, held my breath, and wrapped my right arm very lightly around his warm, soft waist. Keep real close, Bells, he mumbled. Real close. Love you, Dad, I whispered through my teeth. He shivered and pulled away. I dropped my arm. Love you too, kid. Whatever else has changed, that hasn't. He touched one finger to Renesmee's pink cheek. She sure looks a lot like you. I kept my expression casual, though I felt anything but. More like Edward, I think. I hesitated and then added, she has your curls. Charlie started, then snorted. Huh, guess she does. Huh, Grandpa. He shook his head doubtfully. Do I ever get to hold her? I blinked in shock and then composed myself. After considering for a half second and judging Renesmee's appearance, she looked completely out. I decided that I might as well push my luck to the limit, since things were going so well today. Here, I said, holding her out to him. He automatically made an awkward cradle with his arms, and I tucked Renesmee into it. His skin wasn't quite as hot as hers, but it made my throat tickle to feel the warmth flowing under the thin membrane. Where my white skin brushed him, it left goosebumps. I wasn't sure if this was a reaction to my new temperature or totally psychological. Charlie grunted quietly as he felt her weight. She's sturdy. I frowned. She felt feather light to me. Maybe my measure was off. Sturdy is good, Charlie said, seeing my expression. Then he muttered to himself, she'll need to be tough, surrounded by all this craziness. He bounced his arms gently, swaying a little from side to side. Prettiest baby I ever saw, including you, kid. Sorry, but it's true. I know it is. Pretty baby, he said again, but it was closer to a coo this time. I could see it in his face. I could watch it growing there. Charlie was just as helpless against her magic as the rest of us. 2 seconds in his arms, and already she owned him. Can I come back tomorrow? Sure, Dad, of course. We'll be here. You'd better be, he said sternly. But his face was soft, still gazing at Renesmee. See you tomorrow, Nessie. Not you too. Huh? Her name is Renesmee. Like Renee and Esme put together? No variations. I struggled to calm myself without the deep breath this time. Do you want to hear her middle name? Sure. Carly, with a C, like Carlisle and Charlie put together. Charlie's eye-creasing grin lit up his face, taking me off guard. Thanks, Bills. Thank you, Dad. So much has changed so quickly. My head hasn't stopped spinning. If I didn't have you now, I don't know how I'd keep my grip on reality. I've been about to say my grip on who I was. That was probably more than he needed. Charlie's stomach growled. Go eat, Dad. We will be here. I remembered how it felt, that first uncomfortable immersion in fantasy, the sensation that everything would disappear in the light of the rising sun. Charlie nodded and then reluctantly returned Renesmee to me. He glanced past me into the house. His eyes were a little wild for a minute as he stared around the big, bright room. Everyone was still there, besides Jacob, who I could hear raiding the refrigerator in the kitchen. Alice was lounging on the bottom step of the staircase with Jasper's head in her lap. Carlisle had his head bent over a fat book in his lap. Esmee was humming to herself, sketching on a notepad, while Rosalie and Emmett laid out the foundation for a monumental house of cards under the stairs. Edward had drifted to his piano and was playing very softly to himself. There was no evidence that the day was coming to a close, that it might be time to eat or shift activities in preparation for evening. Something intangible had changed in the atmosphere. The Cullens weren't trying as hard as they usually did. The human charade had slipped ever so slightly, enough for Charlie to feel the difference. He shuddered, shook his head, and sighed. See you tomorrow, Bella. He frowned and then added, I mean, it's not like you don't look good. I'll get used to it. Thanks, Dad. Charlie nodded and walked thoughtfully toward his car. I watched him drive away. It wasn't until I heard his tires hit the freeway that I realized I'd done it. I'd actually made it through the whole day without hurting Charlie, all by myself. I must have a superpower. It seemed too good to be true. Could I really have both my new family and some of my old as well? And I thought that yesterday had been perfect. Wow, I whispered. I blinked and felt the third set of contact lenses disintegrate. The sound of the piano cut off, and Edward's arms were around my waist, his chin resting on my shoulder. You took the word right out of my mouth. Edward, I did it. You did. You are unbelievable. All that worrying over being a newborn, and then you skip it all together. He laughed quietly. I'm not even sure she's really a vampire, let alone a newborn, Emmett called from under the stairs. She's too tame. All the embarrassing comments he'd made in front of my father sounded in my ears again, and it was probably a good thing I was holding Renesmee. Unable to help my reaction entirely, I snarled under my breath. Ooh, scary, Emmett laughed. I hissed, and Renesmee stirred in my arms. She blinked a few times, then looked around, her expression confused. She sniffed, then reached for my face. Charlie will be back tomorrow, I assured her. Excellent, Emmett said. Rosalie laughed with him this time. Not brilliant, Emmett, Edward said scornfully, holding out his hands to take Renesmee from me. He winked when I hesitated, and so, a little confused, I gave her to him. What do you mean? Emmett demanded. It's a little dense, don't you think, to antagonize the strongest vampire in the house? Emmett threw his head back and snorted. Please! Bella, Edward murmured to me while Emmett listened closely. Do you remember a few months ago, I asked you to do me a favor once you were immortal? That rang a dim bell. I sifted through the blurry human conversations. After a moment, I remembered, and I gasped. Oh! Alice trilled a long, pealing laugh. Jacob poked his head around the corner, his mouth stuffed with food. What? Emmett growled. Really? I asked Edward. Trust me, he said. I took a deep breath. Emmett, how do you feel about a little bet? He was on his feet at once.
awesome. Bring it. I bit my lip for a second. He was just so huge. Unless you're too afraid, Emmett suggested. I squared my shoulders. You, me, arm wrestling, dining room table, now. Emmett's grin stretched across his face. Bella? Alice said quickly. I think Esme is fairly fond of that table. It's an antique. Thanks, Esme mouthed at her. No problem, Emmett said with a gleaming smile. Right this way, Bella. I followed him out the back, toward the garage. I could hear all the others trailing behind. There was a largish granite boulder standing up out of a tumble of rocks near the river, obviously Emmett's goal. Though the big rock was a little rounded and irregular, it would do the job. Emmett placed his elbow on the rock and waved me forward. I was nervous again as I watched the thick muscles in Emmett's arm roll, but I kept my face smooth. Edward had promised I would be stronger than anyone for a while. He seemed very confident about this, and I felt strong. That strong? I wondered, looking at Emmett's biceps. I wasn't even 2 days old, though, and that ought to count for something. Unless nothing was normal about me. Maybe I wasn't as strong as a normal newborn. Maybe that's why control was so easy for me. I tried to look unconcerned as I set my elbow against the stone. Okay, Emmett, I win, and you cannot say one more word about my sex life to anyone, not even Rose. No illusions, no innuendos, no nothing. His eyes narrowed. Deal. I win, and it's going to get a lot worse. He heard my breath stop and grinned evilly. There was no hint of bluff in his eyes. You gonna back down so easy, little sister? Emmett taunted. Not much wild about you, is there? I bet that cottage doesn't have a scratch, he laughed. Did Edward tell you how many houses Rose and I smashed? I gritted my teeth and grabbed his big hand. 1, 2, 3, he grunted and shoved against my hand. Nothing happened. Oh, I could feel the force he was exerting. My new mind seemed pretty good at all kinds of calculations, and so I could tell that if he wasn't meeting any resistance, his hand would have pounded right through the rock without difficulty. The pressure increased, and I wondered randomly if a cement truck doing 40 miles an hour down a sharp decline would have similar power. 50 miles an hour? 60? Probably more. It wasn't enough to move me. His hand shoved against mine with crushing force, but it wasn't unpleasant. It felt kind of good in a weird way. I'd been so very careful since the last time I woke up, trying so hard not to break things. It was a strange relief to use my muscles, to let the strength flow rather than struggling to restrain it. Emmett grunted. His forehead creased and his whole body strained in one rigid line toward the obstacle of my unmoving hand. I let him sweat, figuratively, for a moment, while I enjoyed the sensation of the crazy force running through my arm. A few seconds, though, and I was a little bored with it. I flexed. Emmett lost an inch. I laughed. Emmett snarled harshly through his teeth. Just keep your mouth shut, I reminded him, and then I smashed his hand into the boulder. A deafening crack echoed off the trees. The rock shuddered, and a piece, about an eighth of the mass, broke off at an invisible fault line and crashed to the ground. It fell on Emmett's foot, and I snickered. I could hear Jacob's and Edward's muffled laughter. Emmett kicked the rock fragment across the river. It sliced a young maple in half before thudding into the base of a big fir, which swayed and then fell into another tree. Rematch, tomorrow. It's not going to wear off that fast, I told him. Maybe you ought to give it a month. Emmett growled, flashing his teeth. Tomorrow. Hey, whatever makes you happy, big brother. As he turned to stalk away, Emmett punched the granite, shattering off an avalanche of shards and powder. It was kind of neat in a childish way. Fascinated by the undeniable proof that I was stronger than the strongest vampire I'd ever known, I placed my hand,
fingers spread wide against the rock. Then I dug my fingers slowly into the stone, crushing rather than digging. The consistency reminded me of hard cheese. I ended up with a handful of gravel. "Cool," I mumbled. With a grin stretching my face, I whirled in a sudden circle and karate chopped the rock with the side of my hand. The stone shrieked and groaned and, with a big poof of dust, split in two. I started giggling. I didn't pay much attention to the chuckles behind me while I punched and kicked the rest of the boulder into fragments. I was having too much fun, snickering away the whole time. It wasn't until I heard a new little giggle, a high-pitched peal of bells, that I turned away from my silly game. Did she just laugh? Everyone was staring at Renesmee with the same dumbstruck expression that must have been on my face. "Yes," Edward said. "Who wasn't laughing?" Jake muttered, rolling his eyes. "Tell me you didn't let go a bit on your first run, dog," Edward teased, no antagonism in his voice at all. "That's different," Jacob said, and I watched in surprise as he mock-punched Edward's shoulder. "Bella's supposed to be a grown-up, married and a mom and all that. Shouldn't there be more dignity?" Renesmee frowned and touched Edward's face. "What does she want?" I asked. "Less dignity," Edward said with a grin. "She was having almost as much fun watching you enjoy yourself as I was." "Am I funny?" I asked Renesmee, darting back and reaching for her at the same time that she reached for me. I took her out of Edward's arms and offered her the shard of rock in my hand. "You want to try?" She smiled her glittering smile and took the stone in both hands. She squeezed, a little dent forming between her eyebrows as she concentrated. There was a tiny grinding sound and a bit of dust. She frowned and held the chunk up to me. "I'll get it," I said, pinching the stone into stand. She clapped and laughed. The delicious sound of it made us all join in. The sun suddenly burst through the clouds, shooting long beams of ruby and gold across the 10 of us, and I was immediately lost in the beauty of my skin in the light of the sunset, dazed by it. Renesmee stroked the smooth, diamond-bright facets, then laid her arm next to mine. Her skin had just a faint luminosity, subtle and mysterious, nothing that would keep her inside on a sunny day like my glowing sparkle. She touched my face, thinking of the difference and feeling disgruntled. "You're the prettiest," I assured her. "I'm not sure I can agree to that," Edward said, and when I turned to answer him, the sunlight on his face stunned me into silence. Jacob had his hand in front of his face, pretending to shield his eyes from the glare. "Freaky Bella," he commented. "What an amazing creature she is," Edward murmured, almost in agreement, as if Jacob's comment was meant as a compliment. He was both dazzling and dazzled. It was a strange feeling, not surprising, I supposed, since everything felt strange now. This being unnatural at something. As a human, I'd never been best at anything. I was okay at dealing with Renee, but probably lots of people could have done better. Phil seemed to be holding his own. I was a good student, but never the top of the class. Obviously, I could be counted out of anything athletic. Not artistic or musical, no particular talents to brag of. Nobody ever gave away a trophy for reading books. After 18 years of mediocrity, I was pretty used to being average. I realize now that I'd long ago given up any aspirations of shining at anything. I just did the best with what I had, never quite fitting into my world. So this was really different. I was amazing now, to them and to myself. It was like I had been born to be a vampire. The idea made me want to laugh, but it also made me want to sing. I had found my true place in the world, the place I fit, the place I shined. Chapter 27, Travel Plans. I took mythology a lot more seriously since I'd become a vampire. Often, when I looked back over my first 3 months as an immortal, I imagined how the thread of my life might look in the Fates' loom. Who knew but that it actually existed? I was sure my thread must have changed color. I thought it had probably started out as a nice beige, something supportive and non-confrontational, something that would look good in the background. Now it felt like it must be bright crimson, or maybe glistening gold. The tapestry of family and friends that wove together around me was a beautiful, glowing thing, full of their bright, complementary colors. I was surprised by some of the threads I got to include in my life. The werewolves, with their deep, woodsy colors, were not something I'd expected. Jacob, of course, and Seth, too. But my old friends, Quill and Embry, became part of the fabric as they joined Jacob's pack. And even Sam and Emily were cordial. The tensions between our families eased, mostly due to Renesmee. She was easy to love. Sue and Leah Clearwater were interlaced into our life, too. Two more I had not anticipated. Sue seemed to have taken it on herself to smooth Charlie's transition into the world of make-believe. She came with him to the Cullens most days, though she never seemed truly comfortable here the way her son and most of Jake's pack did. She did not speak often. She just hovered protectively near Charlie. She was always the first person he looked to when Renesmee did something disturbingly advanced, which was often. In answer, Sue would eye Seth meaningfully as if to say, "Yeah, tell me about it." Leah was even less comfortable than Sue and was the only part of our recently extended family who was openly hostile to the merger. However, she and Jacob had a new camaraderie that kept her close to us all. I asked him about it once, hesitantly. I didn't want to pry, but the relationship was so different from the way it used to be that it made me curious. He shrugged and told me it was a pack thing. She was his second in command now, his beta, as I'd called it once long ago. "I figured as long as I was going to do this alpha thing for real," Jacob explained, "I'd better nail down the formalities." The new responsibility made Leah feel the need to check in with him often. And since he was always with Renesmee, Leah was not happy to be near us, but she was the exception. Happiness was the main component in my life now, the dominant pattern in the tapestry. So much so that my relationship with Jasper was now much closer than I'd ever dreamed it would be. At first, I was really annoyed, though. "Yeesh," I complained to Edward one night after we'd put Renesmee in her wrought iron crib. "If I haven't killed Charlie or Sue yet, it's probably not going to happen. I wish Jasper would stop hovering all the time." "No one doubts you, Bella. Not in the slightest," he assured me. "You know how Jasper is. He can't resist a good emotional climate. You're so happy all the time, love. He gravitates toward you without thinking." And then Edward hugged me tightly, because nothing pleased him more than my overwhelming ecstasy in this new life. And I was euphoric the vast majority of the time. The days were not long enough for me to get my fill of adoring my daughter. The nights did not have enough hours to satisfy my need for Edward. There was a flip side to the joy, though. If you turn the fabric of our lives over, I imagine the design on the backside would be woven in the bleak grays of doubt and fear. Renesmee spoke her first word when she was exactly 1 week old. The word was mama, which would have made my day, except that I was so frightened by her progress, I could barely force my frozen face to smile back at her.